Going to read together from John's Gospel, continue our theme in how God reveals himself to us, how this God who is real, unique, genuine, is a God who wants us to know him. And we've looked at how God has made himself known to us in creation and in the Bible, then last week in Jesus, the living word, and today we're going to look at how God makes himself known to us through his Holy Spirit. And in the upper room discourse, John 14, 15, and 16, those three chapters, Jesus continually encourages and comforts his disciples by saying, even though I'm leaving you, the living word is leaving you, yet the comforter will come to you. And we find a number of ways in which that comforter, the Holy Spirit, will reveal God to us. So John 16 and the first 15 verses for our reading this morning. Jesus said, "All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." We thank God for profound words that he has written for our help and for our comfort and encouragement. Well, we have been looking these past weeks at the fact that God does reveal himself. He reveals himself to all human beings in creation. And Paul says to the Romans that is a sufficient revelation of himself that we all ought to be those who thank him and depend upon him and worship him. None without excuse. We've seen then that God takes us deeper into a knowledge of him and his character and his purposes in the written word, the Bible. That word that is a phenomenal gathering together of how God, through his Spirit, impressed his truth upon people all the way through from Genesis 1:1 through the end of the book of Revelation. The written word of God spelling out clearly and plainly both that human sin that provides a barrier between us and God, but then that glorious plan of redemption brought about particularly in the death of Christ at Easter time, that redemption that enables us to come back into fellowship with God, to be reconciled to God, and ultimately to know God himself. Last week we thought together about that living word, Jesus himself being sent into this world so we could see and touch and handle that word of life. God's visible, God's audible, God's tangible, God's accessible message to us. Jesus the Word, Jesus the Incarnate One, Jesus the Redeemer. So while creation tells us about God, and the Bible speaks God's Word to us in words, Jesus as the living Word makes that even more real and dynamic to us. And through his work of redemption, enables us not just to know about God, but to actually say, I know him. This morning we look at the way in which God, through his Holy Spirit, reveals God to us. And if you're aware of theological dilemmas and discussions and debates and arguments, you know here is a theme with great potential controversy. Throughout history, there have been Christians who have felt, well, God has said something to me through his Spirit, which is even better than Scripture. And some have been tempted to almost leave the Bible to one side and say, well, I have direct access to God through the Spirit now, so I can do without the Bible. What I've got is superior to Scripture. Others haven't gone that far, but have taken the line, well, God through his Spirit says things to me and to us as a church, which are equivalent to Scripture. So that what God says to us today through his Spirit in tradition and custom and revelation is on a par with Scripture. And there have been a whole variety of churches and church groupings who said, if we want to know what God wants to show us of himself, we need to depend both on Scripture and on tradition or revelation to us. And others have said, well, God has spoken to me through his Spirit, and I wouldn't put it above Scripture, and I wouldn't put it as equivalent to Scripture, but it's a very close runner-up. And if it contravenes Scripture, if it doesn't seem to tie in with the Bible, well, I'll still hold on to it. There's a man in Belfast, some of you will know who I'm referring to, but I'll not mention him by name, who was at one time a worker with Baptists in Ireland, who declares that God, by his Spirit, guided him out of his marriage and into an adulterous relationship, and God has blessed it, and God said, that's okay. How do we believe God through his Spirit works in revealing God to us? Big issue, and one that I want to deal with as quickly as possible, but as helpfully as possible to us this morning. And most of the texts I'll take for us are actually from those chapters 14, 15, and 16 of John's Gospel. So if you have a Bible, you might want to have them open there and follow me through. Otherwise, I'll try and remember to read them as slowly as possible so you pick them up as we go through. First way in which the Holy Spirit reveals God to us is he reminds us of the truth. And I'm reading here from John 14 and verse 26. The first promise about the Spirit that Jesus gives to his disciples in that upper room discourse. And it reads this way. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. He will remind you of everything I, Jesus, the living Word, have said. The task of the Holy Spirit in these disciples, once Jesus left them and returned back to heaven, was to keep the words of the living Word fresh in their hearts and minds. I don't know what your memory's like. I know that mine is failing rapidly at times. And I stand at the door sometimes like, what on earth is her name or his name as they come to the door and meet me? And there are probably worse occasions of forgetfulness that I have from time to time. What a tragic fear the disciples must have had, who'd spent 3 years with Jesus, listening to every word, having him there at hand so that they forgot something he'd said, or if they'd missed the implications of it. They could just ask him, Jesus, what did you say about that? What did you mean by that? How does that apply to me? And now Jesus is saying, I'm going to leave you. I'm going back to my Father and to your Father. I'm going to take again that glory I had with the Father from before the worlds began. And the disciples are facing this horrific, at least this potentially horrific situation of no longer having Jesus, the living word, with them, able to communicate his words of truth to their hearts and minds. And Jesus, don't you worry. Don't be anxious. You aren't going to have brilliant minds that can retain forever every single thing I've ever said to you. For part of the task of the Holy Spirit is to remind you of everything I have said. Not new extra biblical revelation. Not something on top of what Jesus had been teaching them. And certainly nothing contrary to it. But he'd keep revealing God to his disciples in the teaching that Jesus himself had given. I think sometimes we have a bit of sad sentimentality in our hearts and minds. We're honest and we say something like, well, you know, I really wish I'd been there on the spot when Jesus was teaching from the boat on Lake Galilee. I wish I'd been there and actually heard his voice. I wish I had been there and seen him live. We think that'd be much better than just having a written word in the Bible. But if you understand this promise that Jesus is making to his disciples about the role of the Holy Spirit keeping his word alive and fresh in their hearts and minds, then we'd understand why he said, I'm going to send the counselor, and that's even better for you. Because God, the Holy Spirit, would keep the words of Jesus alive and fresh in the hearts and minds, not just of those who had walked with Jesus and talked with him for 3 years, but every brand new Christian who'd ever walked this earth would have this teaching of the Holy Spirit given to them, constantly reminding them, constantly keeping alive and fresh the teaching of Jesus in his own ministry. It's like having Jesus on iPlayer, because we can replay and we can pause and we can listen and we can replay it again. And the Holy Spirit is constantly, constantly, constantly replaying, reminding us of what Jesus has taught in his ministry to disciples. We're not worse off than those early disciples. In a sense, they didn't have a chance to replay and replay and replay the way we do. A number of years ago, we were on holiday in our grand tour of Europe and ended up with Carson Boggs in Eindhoven, one of my few trips to Holland. Sorry, Janne. And in the church on Sunday, they announced that the office bearers were going to watch Eindhoven play football during the week. And I was invited, Barbara wasn't, I was invited to join with them watching Eindhoven play. We're up in the back end of the stand watching this famous football team play football. And something happened in the goal mouth. I was all over and done with, and they're back to the centre line. And I didn't see what had happened. I had missed it. And this is so long ago, there weren't big TV screens to replay. There wasn't even a board that told you what the score was in those days. You just didn't know. You'd missed it. And that moment was gone. We become so dependent, haven't we, on having that big screen that even Raven Hill has one now, too, I think, in fact, where you can see immediately a replay of what's just happened. The Holy Spirit is given to the Christian as one who replays the teaching of Jesus so that his revelation as a living word is always on tap for us. His task is to remind us of the truth. His second task is to witness to the Word, to the living Word, to Jesus himself. Quite a few were chatting afterwards last week what the difference is between Christ as the Word and Scripture as the Word. And we're trying to make that distinction that everything in Scripture points to Jesus, but Jesus, by being the living Word, by being God manifest in the flesh, brought extra dimensions to us. So we suggested if we want to understand God as a humble God, we see it in Jesus. His character, as well as his words, tell us things about God. His behavior, as well as his words, tell us things about God. His compassion tells us something about God that can't be said in mere words. So the written word points to the living word, Jesus. Now in John 15, verse 26, here's this further development of thought about the work of the Holy Spirit. He will keep reminding us of the words of Jesus, but he does more than that. The Spirit bears witness to the living word. When the Counselor comes, says Jesus, whom I will send to you from the Father, he will testify about me, about Jesus. Not just the words that Jesus spoke and the commands Jesus gave, but about the character and person, the full picture of who Jesus actually is. And so glorifies Jesus in the lives of those who know him. Sometimes we say, and perhaps our words get casual, but I don't condemn that. It's how we're fixed. We say, well, you know, Jesus lives in my heart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. What do we mean by that? The one who bears the marks of the cross in his hands and side doesn't physically live in us. What we mean by it, I hope, is that the Holy Spirit makes Jesus so real to me. Not just the words that Jesus spoke, but the person who Jesus is becomes part of me. I feel I'm in a relationship with him that's real and genuine and authentic. It's Jesus and me through the power of the Spirit. We'll quote a verse later from Paul's experiences in his journeys where he speaks about the Spirit as the Spirit of Jesus. Here in this chapter and these other chapters surrounding this one, Jesus talks about, I will send the Spirit. He's the Spirit of the Father. He's the Spirit of the Son. Because he makes Jesus known to us. He reminds us of the words of Jesus and reminds us of Jesus the Word. If you flick into chapter 16 and verse 14, where we were earlier, here are these words. He will bring me glory by taking from what is mine, what is about me, and making it, that, known to you. So the Spirit's work is not simply, although wonderful it is, to tell us the words that Jesus spoke and convey the commands that Jesus gave, but deeper, more profound than that, to show us the character and being of Jesus and imprint that into our lives and hearts and minds as well. I think it's probably Americans who started wearing the little bracelets, what would Jesus do? And I've heard that criticized and praised both. What I think it's trying to say was that in every life situation, we need to think not just what do the words of Jesus say and the commands of Jesus say, but what would the person of Jesus be like in that situation? How would he react? And sometimes the specific commands or the specific words of Jesus aren't specifically related to that issue. It is the Spirit's task to make us know what Jesus would do in that situation. He makes God known to us in that situation. So the Holy Spirit shows us Jesus, the living Word, and witnesses to us from the written Word. Not new truth, either about God the Father or about Jesus the Word. Not something that's outside of Scripture, can't be found in Scripture. We're back to where we were last week. New Testament believers were not shortchanged. They didn't have a partial revelation, which is then filled out and expanded on by later religious leaders or later philosophical discoveries. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus. And those who saw Jesus saw all that the human mind and heart can take in of what God is like. And when his words and when he himself became known by others, they had a full knowledge of all the human mind and heart can take in of what God is like. There were those in the early days who thought, well, you know, we've got a key to special knowledge. We've got something extra. And it tore the church apart. God's answer through Paul to the Colossians, etc., was no. If you have Jesus, then all the fullness of God dwells in you as well. Not new truth then that the Spirit is showing us, but simply showing us the words that Jesus has spoken and the Word himself as he has been revealed. The idea we can get to know Jesus better than the early believers through the writings of historians, by the work of archaeologists, or the suggestions of anthropologists is dangerous territory. The Spirit simply shows us the Jesus who is there in Scripture and the Jesus who walked beside Galilee and the Jesus who showed himself alive after his death. The Holy Spirit doesn't show us a different Jesus or a more detailed picture of the living Word. Rather, he shows us the living Word in the written Word. First, then, he reminds us of Scripture. Second, he witnesses to the Word of God, the living Word. Thirdly, he illumines the minds of believers. He opens the Scriptures to our minds, but he also opens our minds to the Scripture. Very important truth. Many hymn writers have tried to express that desire that God the Holy Spirit would open our eyes to see that which God through his Holy Spirit is showing to us in Word. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. It is the Holy Spirit who opens up us, as well as the Holy Spirit who opens up the Word to us. An older song, open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready my God thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. So while the Word of God in Scripture is reminded, put in our memories, made fresh and alive by the work of the Holy Spirit, while the living Word is made known to us through the written Word by the Holy Spirit, there's also this need for our hearts, our minds, our wills to be worked upon by the Holy Spirit so we can receive that Word, living Word and written Word. We sing sometimes the words of break thou the bread of life, and one of its verses reads, O send thy Spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed, I see thee, Lord. In other words, the truth is there, And it's the Holy Spirit who helps me to see that truth and to receive it into my heart and life. Something Jesus did through his own ministry. We will probably have some point over the next weekend when we read together Luke chapter 24, that post-resurrection of Jesus to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus comes alongside them, but their eyes had, as it were, scales on, and they didn't recognize him. And he had to take the scales away and make himself known to them in the breaking of bread. But you also remember that phrase that as he walked with them, he made himself known, talked of Christ in all the scriptures. In other words, the scripture was there, the writing was there, the truth was there, but they hadn't got it. And part of the work of the Holy Spirit, part of the work of Jesus then was to help them see, to take the scales from their eyes. And that's still part then of the work of the Holy Spirit, to illumine us, to take the scales from our eyes, to deal with our, in fact, spiritual cataracts, so we see vividly and clearly. Illumination is needed by us all. It's needed by those who aren't Christians. Maybe you're not a believer yet, and you've struggled, I just don't see it. I've read the Bible from cover to cover, or most of it. I've tried to understand it. I've studied it. I've gone to groups of studies. I've done Christianity Explore. I just don't see it. Don't get it. I maybe just need to pray, Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Because the work of the Holy Spirit is to illuminate us as well as illuminate the Word itself. I think it's also an important truth for us who are Christians. Illumination is needed if the Christian is going to be transformed by the written word and the living word. It doesn't happen automatically. And the tragedy that each of us knows in our hearts is we can come to church Sunday after Sunday so that we can hear the sermon or the lecture or the message. And it goes in one ear, and by the time we're home, it's out the other ear. It hasn't impacted us at all. It might have been the truth. I hope it has been the truth. But if that's to be effective in our lives, it requires not just the Spirit to reveal the words of Jesus and the Spirit to show us Jesus the Word. It requires us to want, to long for, to cry for God the Spirit to illumine our minds, our eyes, our hearts, so we'll see in him the living truth. And lastly, the Spirit provides the application of the truth. Now that passage in Matthew 10 where Jesus is preparing his disciples for their work, and he tells them it's going to be tough. There'll come a time when you're brought before the magistrates and kings and authorities and you're going to be put on the spot. Horrifying prospect. And what does Jesus say to him? Don't worry, don't worry. The Spirit will give you the words to speak at that moment in time. Not new revelation, not extra biblical revelation, but the Spirit will take the words of God and provide the appropriate message for you to speak at that point in time. They didn't have to have brilliant theological knowledge and experience. They didn't need to have a wonderful memory that could recall every single verse of Scripture. Not many of us have that. Well, they are promised that the Spirit will take the right words and put them in your mouth at the appropriate point of time. It's about guidance. And if you emphasize that word guidance, you're at the heart of one of the tasks of the Holy Spirit that he performs with God's revelation of himself and his will. He guides us into applying the truth to our lives in our generation. Probably in Bible terms, Paul's experience in his missionary journeys was one of the clearest and sharply focused experiences of that. Jesus had ended his ministry at the end of Matthew's gospel with that call to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Paul is called to be a missionary to the Gentiles, the apostle to the Gentiles, to take that good news and spread it across the world. He tried to be obedient to that calling. He covered more territory than most of us could cover, even if we had air miles to do it. But there are times when God, through the Spirit, said, not that way, not that door. That's where I want you to go. Acts 16, verse 6, kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. How did Paul know not to go into Asia? There's no command in the words of Jesus said, thou shalt not go to Asia. In fact, the command of Jesus seemed to be the opposite, go into all the world. It wasn't that Jesus appeared to the Apostle Paul in some extra-biblical vision or dream and said, don't go into Asia. But the Holy Spirit's task was to guide the apostle in that particular situation. Paralleled shortly afterwards, they tried, says the Bible, they tried to enter Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. I'm not sure how the Spirit made that known. I just thank God he's not limited. He has all kinds of ways of making the plans and purposes of known to us, of God known to us. But it is the Spirit's task to do that, to take the principles of what Jesus has said and taught and done, and then apply them into our hearts and lives. We use the word guidance, we use the word discernment, we might use phrases like spiritual wisdom or spiritual knowledge. Whatever phrase, it's a revelation of God's will in a particular situation. And the Spirit of God is promised for such situations. And we are utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit for such information and wisdom from God. At least we ought to be. Sadly, I think of my own life, and I'm sure others, we tend to go on autopilot. Or we tend to follow what everybody else does in that kind of situation. I think sometimes we miss that sense of utter dependence upon the Holy Spirit to guide us in applying the truth of God's word to our everyday situations, because they're always unique. Other people got to Bithynia after Paul, and God opened the door for them to go into Bithynia. Others arrived in Asia, in the province of Asia, and God directed them there. But Paul, at that point in his life, in that stage of his ministry, was told, no, that's not God's plan for you. Do we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us? Our fullest grasp of God's revelation requires more than just an ability to read the Bible, and more than just the ability to study the Bible, and more than just the ability to memorize the Bible, or even understand it all. We need the Holy Spirit's revealing ministry to take the written word from the living word and make it God's word in our everyday situations. Let's pray together. Father, we understand how utterly important Jesus felt it was that his disciples had another counselor, another teacher, another guide. And we thank you for the wonderful provision made in the person of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that God, the Holy Spirit, continues to make God real to us, reveals God in his character, in his being, in his purpose, in his will, known to our lives. Lord, grant us that hunger, that thirst, that helps us to utterly depend upon him for every step we take. We pray it in Jesus' name.